The Guardian.
Well, over the summer, I've had meetings with a number of real IRA representatives, and this culminated this week with an interview, which was conducted in a rather bizarre way. I had initially given them a long list of questions that I thought The Guardian would want to ask them, and then I was taken up to a location in the northwest of Northern Ireland, and while there, I was instructed to go into a public toilet, and told that behind the cistern of the loo there would be a thing I had to pick up. I fumbled around and found a surgical glove, and inside that surgical glove, wrapped quite carefully, was a USB memory stick. It was then suggested that I put it into a laptop computer, which I did, and lo and behold, there was a very, very detailed statement from the Real IRA's national leadership answering the questions that The Guardian had posed.
Well, now, what did they tell you?
Well, I think the salient point of a very detailed statement from the terror group was that banks and bankers are now potential targets. They said that the behaviour of financial institutions during the financial crisis, quotes, had not gone unnoticed. They branded the banks as criminals, they said. They reminded people that in the past Republicans have attacked high-profile economic targets such as the City of London. As they say, the role of the bankers and institutions they serve in financing Britain's colonial and capitalist system has not gone unnoticed. And it talked about the corrupting influence of banking institutions. That's the first time, really, I've heard such anti-capitalist rhetoric from the Real IRA. Prior to that, it's always been very traditional nationalist kind of rhetoric, but this is the first time you've heard this kind of language deployed.
So why do you think they're going to pick on the banks and the financial sector?
In Ireland, North and South, particularly in the Irish Republic, the banking sector is massively unpopular. People blame the banks for the collapse of the Irish economy, and they are also very angry. The general public, this is the law-abiding general public, toward the fact that the banks are getting massive loans from the state, from taxpayers, billions and billions of euros. I think this is an attempt to tap into that well of discontent towards the banking system.
But how much support does the Real IRA have in the population at large in Northern Ireland?
It doesn't have massive support. People still support Sinn Féin and Sinn Féin's peace strategy among Northern Ireland nationalists. People, as a whole, don't like the idea of violence returning to their streets. But because I'm sure the Real IRA know that they don't have massive support in terms of electorally speaking, because I mean most people back Sinn Féin and its peace strategy in Northern Ireland among the nationalist population at least.
So what did the Real IRA say about why they are continuing the violence?
Well, they say they still think that Britain, as they call it, is an occupying power, that they still would regard the Belfast Agreement as copper fastening the partition of Ireland. They don't see the Good Friday Agreement being the vehicle to create Irish unity. They say that, you know, there's still a Union flag flying over the Parliament at Stormont buildings. And essentially, that they're carrying on a tradition that's been several hundred years old. So I asked them about the chances of talks. There were Martin McGuinness, the Sinn Féin MP and Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland, said that he was sure that there were talks between dissidents and the two governments, London and Dublin, but they said, as far as their organisation was concerned, they couldn't speak for anyone else. They were not engaged in talks, and certainly not engaged in talks leading to any cessation of violence at this stage. Never say never in Irish politics, of course.
So how significant are the Real IRA as opposed to the other breakaway groups?
Well, they're the organisation that killed two British squaddies who were on their way to Afghanistan in March 2009. They remain perhaps the largest of all the groups, and the most far-flung. I mean, they have bases in Derry, they have support in along the border with the Irish Republic. They contain a number of ex-IRA activists, so you know they do have experience. They also said in the interview in The Guardian that Britain remains a target, the British mainland remains a high priority. But they haven't really had any attacks in Britain since the start of this century. I mean, they had a unit that tried to firebomb West London and they were caught red-handed thanks to the work of MI5. But they still see English cities, English population centres as a potential target.
And do they have the munitions to do something about it?
They have munitions and they have explosives. I mean, they almost killed and they crippled a Catholic police officer in a remote control undercar bomb at the start of this year. They nearly killed a British Army major in Bangor recently. They don't have access to the kind of major devices that the Provisional IRA used in the early 90s when they devastated Bishopsgate in London. But the intent is there, and if they get the chance, they would go for it.
But one thing that's also changed since the Good Friday Agreement is that there are members of the nationalist community who are prepared to tell the security forces about what's going on if they find that out, aren't there?
Oh, yes, and I think it's also important to stress, too, that one of the reasons why their actions are being stymied is the work of the Garda Síochána Síochána, the police force in the Irish Republic. They have more intelligence-led inroads into groups like the Real IRA than, say, the PSNI would. Now, I do think, yes, within the communities there is some people who are prepared to cooperate with the police, but another aspect of this interview, this rather bizarre way they communicated with us, was they defended the role of what they call so-called punishment shootings, and they've carried out an awful lot of these, for example, in the city of Derry, more than 24 men shot over the last 18 months, or else expelled to Britain. And they say that's because they can deliver instant justice, so one would doubt it's justice in any form, and that it undermines support for the police. But thus far, all the opinion polls say, yes, that the nationalist community is more accepting of the PSNI than ever before.
How sure are you you've actually been talking to somebody from the Real IRA, and who exactly do you think has been talking back to you?
Well, I'm absolutely certain. The communique given to The Guardian is genuine. And I'm absolutely certain that the representative is who they say they were. I have no doubt about it. This was done through intermediaries, veteran Republicans, who I've known for a long time, people I would have known in the past when the Troubles were raging. So I have no doubt in my mind that this is an authentic reflection of where they are as of now.
And what do you think was their reason? Why did they have to make a message?
From their viewpoint, there's an awful lot written about them, but not a lot said by them. They don't say very much very often, but I suppose, speaking like an organisation like The Guardian, which is an international news organisation as opposed to a local one, I think they're trying to transmit a message to the wider world.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.